Stupid thing.
I'm just having fun.
Seeing ghosts.
The Forgotten Camp.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen. Joined today, Trey Watkins, as always, Friday preview show. Lots going on tonight. Trey's Yankees are playing, and Austin Meadows just hit a dinger off Gerrit Cole. Tie game 1-1. Trey is also watching the Asterix finals. Whoever wins. I mean, if LeBron wins, it's an obvious asterix for his legacy. He'll never be the GOAT. He'll never be better than Jordan. He'll never be better than Kobe, frankly.
Whoa, hater.
But yeah, I mean, I'm just here being a hater. Trey's watching greatness. Trey's sweating out this game, and we're going to try to talk about this week's NFL slate loosely, because I will say, you know, Trey, I'm a real proponent of, I don't think you've ever heard me say there are bad football games, because I truly believe all football is good football. Hell, I suffered through Bengals Jags on Game Pass this afternoon. And I mean, I didn't really even suffer through, because I mean, Joey Burrow looked great when he had time to throw. I was happy to see that development. We'll get to that later in the show, but this week, week five, not a ton of great matchups, a lot of kind of pick'ems that we do, you know, where we just will throw out a comment or two and then pick the game. But yeah, I mean, not a ton of stellar games this weekend, really, Trey. Or am I missing something here?
I mean, once you sent me some games earlier, and I looking over those games, I mean, I kind of agree. I mean, I would have to look over the rest of the schedule. I mean, I guess there's Rams, Washington, Eagles, Steelers. Eagles, Steelers would be good if the Eagles weren't so horrible. Raiders, Chiefs is, I guess, now a sneaky good game. A sneaky good game.
Yep.
I'll give you two. Colts, Browns, and Bengals, Ravens. And I say Bengals, Ravens only because that sometimes you know this best, that sometimes we get some of these fluky games where bad teams can stick around with some good teams. And what of a story it would be to have Joe Burrow stick around with Lamar Jackson in a meaningless week five football game.
Let's start Ravens Bengals, because I think you're right. I think this could be a closer game than a lot of people expect. I think that, I mean, October, you can't really keep picking the favorites anymore. And the dogs start showing up if you're gambling, which we aren't, I don't think. I don't think, Trey, you gamble. I gamble very little.
Not me.
But if you're looking at things like point spreads, you see dogs in October that are greater than 10 points. That's usually a pretty good bet. The Bengals are projected plus 13, so that's a good bet to have. I would definitely say the Ravens, they can hang around with the Ravens, and I think they'll win by less than 13 points for Ravens in this game. The Bengals have some really good pieces, but I want to bring up, it is sad what has happened to AJ Green, because he is just not the guy anymore. The injuries have finally caught up with him, and he's just not getting open. He doesn't really have the speed. His route running suffered. He looks like he's kind of half-assing it out there almost. And I feel bad because the way it ended up, the Bengals wasted AJ Green's career. And that there's only that way to really look at it. But that was the number one thing that kind of stood out when I watched the Bengals and Jags earlier today, was just, you know, how ineffective AJ Green looks at this point in his career. Am I alone in that assessment?
See, when I was younger and I was watching the whole Bengals, I guess you could say, good run with the Bengals, where they had Andy Dalton starting, got some names on defense, and they were consistently Woody Gage. I didn't think they were wasting their career. I think, and I'm so serious, I think they just got hit with some of the worst playoff ever. I'm so serious. Now, look, now, thinking back on it now, when I'm 20 years old, I'll say yes, the Bengals were perennial chokers at that time, and Marvin Lewis shouldn't even get near a team that looks to, or that wants to make the playoffs and go deep in the playoffs, because he's just going to choke in the first, you know, game that he played. But it was, I at that time, I didn't think the Bengals were risking AJ Green's career. And now, looking back on the past couple of years, I can reverse course and say yes, the Bengals have wasted AJ Green's career, and it's not even close either. The best quarterback they gave him during his, I guess you could say, his prime years in Cincinnati was Andy Dalton. That's it. Andy Dalton, that's it. The roster wasn't all that fantastic either. I think that division during those years kind of ran into a little, some inconsistencies and troubles. And I think that's what allowed the Bengals to sneak in, win a couple division titles to get into the playoffs, where they, like I said, ended up choking. So, I think they ended up wasting A.J. Green's career. And it's a shame, because when A.J. Green – and Eric, you know this. When A.J. Green was at his prime, he looked like arguably the best wide receiver in football. You could literally make the argument that he was the best wide receiver in football when he was in his prime. So it's sad. It's sad. And I think that just shows that great talent, and I have great talents like that tend to fall in love and get blinded by the whole process of things and how their teams stand. And I think it was the same with Calvin Johnson in Detroit. So, not comparing the two, I think it's some similarities in both these situations. So it's a shame, but it happens, and unfortunately, it happens all too often. So.
Yeah, I mean, also points by you. I wanted to just quickly touch on the new weapons that they have in Cincinnati that have really started showing up the past couple of weeks. T. Higgins especially looked really good in that game, and he has started to come on the last 2 weeks or so. So he's a guy to watch. Tyler Boyd has obviously been there for a while now, but he's still producing at a high level. And, of course, I think we both love Joe Burrow. So, the Bengals, it's a transition, but I wonder if – I don't think they could get anything for A.J. Green if they even tried to trade him, to be honest with you. Maybe off name value alone, they could get, like, a sixth-round pick. But I just feel like I would kind of be shocked if A.J. Green finishes the season on the Bengals roster. I don't know. I think there's an outside chance that he gets released at some point to waivers, or he's traded away for nothing, just to kind of get him off the books and aim ahead to next year a little bit. But he is he's played so poorly. And I mean, I took a look at some of the Bengals all 22 this week, and he's just not getting separation anymore. And he wasn't even getting separation against the Jaguars, and the Jaguars are just, you know, terrible in the secondary right now. And I don't know. I feel like there's a chance that the Bengals finish the season without AJ Green on the roster.
That's not too bad. When you think about it, that's actually not too bad of a take, especially considering the wide receiver teams or wide receiver needed teams out there that have that contender status labeled them. New England is one. They need wide receivers badly. that's just one team that jumps off the bat for me that needs wide receivers and probably needs them now. What's another team I can think of that might need wide receivers? And it's in
Packers.
Packers. Oh, yeah, Packers. They need a wide receiver. That would be nice. Can you imagine Davante Adams, Lazard, and freaking A.J. Green? How fun would that be?
But pump for breaks. Because we've just established A.J. Green is no longer A.J. Green.
I think he'd be fine in a limited role because I think – is it a stretch to say A.J. Green would be wide receiver 3 in Green Bay if he does get traded?
No, I think that's accurate.
See, and that's fine in a limited role for A.J. Green. Since the Packers love to run the ball and Aaron Rodgers loves to spread the ball around with wherever he wants. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he gets a lot of targets in that offense, even when that offense loves to run the ball as well. So that wide receiver 3 role in Green Bay wouldn't be too bad of a fit for Green. Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad of a fit.
The Ravens, meanwhile, got back on track against the football team. I think this game's honestly going to show us a lot more about the Ravens. I think the Bengals are a much better linebacking core than – well, that's a lie. What I just said was a lie. The linebackers are not good on Cincinnati either. But I feel like they are a – I don't even know if they're a better defense than Washington right now. So I talked myself into a corner there. But I think the Ravens have a good day here and continue to stay on track. I just have a hard time seeing them beating them by more than 10 points. So, yeah, that's that one. Who do you have here?
Ravens, I'd say no more than 10.
All right. Pick'ems, and maybe we'll go back and forth on our sentence on our blurbs for each of these teams, more or less. Cardinals, Jets. I'll do the blurb for this one. Cliff Kingsbury is in his calling tunnel screens to nowhere phase of his coaching career. That is why the Cardinals have not played well the past 2 weeks, is because he refuses to use Andy Isabella as a downfield threat, or really any of his wide receivers. He just continues having Kyler Murray throw these short to intermediate routes and tunnel screens to nowhere. So, yeah, that's something to watch for the Cardinals. This is a great chance to get the vertical passing game going, though, against the Jets. I'll go Cardinals here, obviously.
Yeah, I don't understand why Cliff Kingsbury is so hesitant to throw the ball down the field. Kyler Murray's arms it's not the strongest or the best in football by any means, but it's electric at times. You have DeAndre Hopkins, Andy Isabella, and you have Christian Kirk, who could be somewhat of a downfield threat as well. I don't see why he's not taking advantage of his weapons down the field. But like you said, if there's a chance for him to actually do that in this game against the Jets, would be a great chance to do so. So I'll take the Cardinals in this one.
Steelers, Eagles. I'll take the Steelers. What do you got on this one?
Steelers. The Eagles are bad. The Eagles are bad. Give me Steelers.
Okay. Rams football team. I'll go Rams here. Good chance to stay in rhythm. Football team. Go to Kyle Allen now. Dwayne Haskins, not even the third stringer. They're looking to rebuild there now. So as they have been for the past couple of years here now. So this is the Ron Rivera defense is what he's building this year. And it seems like they're going to attack the offense next year. Antonio Gibson continues to emerge as an offensive piece for them. I don't know if he's a weapon yet, but if you're looking at it from a fantasy standpoint, his numbers are crazy. This is one of those games. I'll go Rams here, obviously.
Yeah, I'll go Rams. It's a shame to see what happened to Haskins. I think it's just a situation where the Redskins aren't convinced by him and Haskins haven't got the opportunity to convince them that he's convince him that he could be a quarterback of the future. So shame, but give me Rams here. Give me Rams.
All right. Giants, Cowboys. I mean, we'll see just how much trouble the Cowboys are in this week, depending on what the Giants do. The Giants are the worst offense in the NFL right now, in my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. They have scored 3 touchdowns in the past 3 weeks. They are just not a good offense at all right now. Daniel Jones is surprisingly being too passive. He is not being aggressive enough down the field. He's holding the ball too much. And he needs to play a little bit more loose because that's his strength. I'll go Cowboys here.
Yeah, I'll go Cowboys as well. That Giants defense is horrible. It's still horrible. And the Cowboys offense is clicking all the cylinders. It's fun to watch. So give me Cowboys. It's fun.
Broncos, Patriots. I like the Broncos in this one, honestly. No Stephon Gilmore. No Cam Newton. I don't think Drew Lock plays in this game. There's a chance, but I really don't think he does. I think we see one more week of Brett Rippon. I think they're able to move the ball. And I think this is a much better chance to evaluate if Jared Stidham is indeed terrible against a Broncos defense that has played pretty well this year, but against a secondary that has sort of struggled at points. So, and a good test for Michael Ojemudia this week as well. I'll go Broncos here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to roll with the Broncos as well. That offense without Cam sucks. It sucks. There's nothing else in that offense for me to get excited about. The defense without Gilmore, big oof as well. But Drew Lock, and like you said, you don't think Drew Lock is going to play. But if Drew Lock indeed does play, then I think the Broncos win by 2 touchdowns. Drew Lock doesn't play for the Broncos on Monday night, then. Drew Lock doesn't play for the Broncos on Monday night. Did I see the Patriots keeping it somewhat closer? I could see the Patriots keeping it somewhat closer, but the Broncos still pull it out.
Texans, Jags, don't tell me anything, Trey. Just tell me who you're picking here, and then I have a discussion topic for us.
Texans.
Okay, I'll go Texans here as well. Have you heard about this Nick Easterby guy?
I kid you not, I have never heard of that guy until I saw, you know, the big guy, the big reporters were talking about him. Never heard of him.
He is staging a power grab of the likes of which we have never really seen outside of maybe his predecessor, Bill O'Brien. Like, this guy has no football experience. He came up being the culture coach in New England and a team pastor there as well. And he's suddenly putting himself in the mix. He's currently the interim GM, and there's real thought in Houston that he is just going to hire himself as the GM from being vice president of football operations there and run the Texans, which would be a wild and probably incredibly dumb move. So the Texans are in real trouble if that happens, turning into one of these, you know, also ran franchises. I don't know. You should read up on it. It is a wild kind of scheme that's going down right now in Houston.
I had never heard of that. Dude. You know what? When I heard that, I was surprised when you said that, but then I thought to myself, I was like, the Texas ownership is a mess. They literally gave Bill O'Brien control as GM. And the whole interim process in the front office area was a mess as well. The process of getting it together was a mess as well. So I'm not surprised by anything, any wacky stuff that goes on with the Texans, because that organization is wacky. The organization is bad from top to bottom. Front office and ownership is bad. Texans are bad.
All right. And we'll finish off the pick'em by Dolphins, Niners. This is the full-strength Niners team. For the first time ever this season, Jimmy G back. George Kittle back, Deebo Samuel back, Brandon Ayuk back. This is the offense. This is the offense they drafted for last year. This is the offense. This is the entire team. And I believe Mostert's back this week as well. This is it. This is the big time. And I'm excited to see how the Niners look. My other thing is Dolphins, come on now. You've seen Justin Herbert tear it up with the Chargers, and everybody said, oh, Justin Herbert's not ready. He needs time to develop. Well, suddenly, Justin Herbert, I would argue, looks like the best rookie quarterback. And I don't know. I'm getting sick of the Ryan Fitzpatrick show. It's been 5 weeks. Stop playing around. Next week against Denver is a perfect time. Roll out Tua. Let's see Tua.
Yeah. I love the whole Fitzpatrick story. Every time it comes around, his beard, I mean, it's cool. The whole situation around him is cool, I guess. But, yes, give me Tua. Give me Tua. I hate seeing that go on the pitch because watching him play at Alabama was a daggum treat. And seeing him just sit on the bench is just – so daggum depressing. So, yeah. Give me two. Now. I'm begging you, dude.
I love when Trey's southern side comes out and he says daggum, you know? You break it out occasionally when you're really frustrated about something. And that's when it's extra funny. This was not one of those times, of course, but yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of the Trey Watkins experience is when he breaks out.
You know I'm stressing, sweating my tail off watching this Yankees game. So, bro, if you hear that, then you just know why.
So, let's talk about the, by my count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games that we didn't already talk about. Let's go Raiders Chiefs. This is an interesting game. A lot of debate whether this thing should have been played or not with all the positive tests surrounding the Raiders and the Patriots. But this is always an interesting game in that the Raiders always hang around early, but the Chiefs always end up blowing them out. So I am going to go with the Chiefs here. I don't have a ton to say about this game other than I think Patrick Mahomes, this is going to be another big-time Patrick Mahomes performance where everybody says, oh, look at what Mahomes is doing, simply because the Raiders' defense is so bad. They don't really even have a defense. The linebackers are incredibly slow. And despite adding Corey Littleton, they just don't have it. They just don't have it on the defensive side of the ball. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire could have a huge game here. I got the Chiefs big in this one. I think that they easily take care of business against the Raiders.
The Raiders, I mean, you remember the Raiders started out 2-0. Everybody kept wondering, oh, the John Gruden experience and project is working. Watch out for the Raiders. Well, two straight losses now. They're sitting at 2-2, and they have to beat the Chiefs to avoid going under 500 this early on in the year. I don't know the rest of the schedule after this game, but I don't think any team will start 2-3. And once you go 2-3, you get it by the hands of the Chiefs, who have Patrick Mahomes and the best offense probably we've seen in football since when. I don't know when, but it's probably one of the best we've seen in the history of this league. No. Give me Chiefs big. I've never been that big on the whole Derek Carr experience with John Gruden. I want to see John Gruden work his magic with a quarterback that actually wants to push the ball down the field since they have a lot of speed on an offense.
They have a really tough schedule coming up, the Raiders, actually. Ben, now that you bring this up. After the Chiefs, it's the Buccaneers, the Browns, the Chargers, the Broncos, which should be an easier game for them, and the Chiefs again. So this next quarter of the season is tough for the Las Vegas Raiders. I do think John Gruden is actually building something. I think you can see what it wants to be, which is a run-heavy, possession, old-school style team. It just doesn't have the defense to really back that up yet, and for that reason, we're going to get beat a lot this year. And they need a better quarterback, and I truly kind of do believe the more we get into this season, the more I can totally see them moving on from Derek Carr next offseason if they get a chance in free agency to go after someone else. Let's talk about the Colts and the Browns. We were going to have Matthew Pierce on, but he was unable to join us, unfortunately, tonight. Browns look good right now. Colts look good right now. But I honestly want to see who wins this game because I don't fully buy either one of these teams. I don't know if you feel the same way, Trey, but I think the Colts are slightly fraudulent. I think they have a Phillip Rivers problem. And I think the run game isn't working nearly as well as they claim it to be. I don't think the offensive line is as good as everyone thinks. And the strength of the team is clearly the defense. And T.Y. Hilton has disappeared on offense. Meanwhile, the Browns, despite winning through the run game, I mean, they're without Nick Chubb now. They're going to lean on D'Ernest Johnson. And Baker has missed a lot of throws this year. I mean, he misses so many throws. And I just kind of want to see who wins this game because it's toss-up. Vegas has it as a pick'em as well, so they agree with me. This game's a total toss-up. I don't feel confident in either one of these teams winning this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's with the Colts, I think you hit it right on the head. They have a Phillip Rivers problem. Phillip Rivers, and I think a lot of that. If you were responsible enough to look at Phillip Rivers and see the flaws that he had over the last 2-3 years of his career with the Chargers, then you realize that he's just not a good NFL quarterback. He's not absolutely terrible, but he's not some quarterback that'll get you, he's not going to be a reason. He's not going to be a reason that you win many games. That's just the point of his career that he's at right now. He came to the situation with the whole run game and defense mantra. And like you said, the run game is finally success, but it hasn't been all that consistent. But lucky for him, that defense has been arguably the best in football in the first 4 weeks. So if there's something to hang his hat on with that whole situation, it's that defense. So if Phil Rivers can just, like I said, just cut down the mistakes and just lean on the run game and the defense, then I think the Colts will end up making a good push towards the postseason. And I think that's the same with the Browns. I haven't been all that up to date on their injury situation and their secondary. So I'm not all that familiar with what's going on with their secondary. So last time I heard, they had some injuries back there. But if that secondary can get a little bit healthier and that run game for the Browns can keep their dominance going like they had against Dallas, and that defense can just step up and get another level of play, then I think they'll be in the same position as the Colts. But like you said earlier, these two teams just aren't, you know, the eye-opening contenders in the AFC. So it should be a fun game between two teams that have some things to prove and are prone to mistakes. Both teams are prone to mistakes on the offensive side of football.
Absolutely. Who you got in this one?
I think I'll roll the Colts for now, only because that defense is still really, really good. So give me the Colts in this one.
Yeah, I really want to pick for Browns, but during this whole Baker Mayfield run, I've picked for Browns in these kind of games where, you know, they're supposed to come out and show the world, this is a different Browns team. They win when they're supposed to. Like, they have not ever done that. So I'll go with the Colts as well. So Yeah, it's a tough one to pick. Let's talk a little. Let's knock out briefly Panthers Falcons. I wanted to talk about this one more in depth just because I really like the Panthers. I think that they're a good offense right now. I think Teddy Bridgewater is the perfect game manager and a guy that is a super underrated throw of the football. You know I love Teddy. I think that this game is closer than people think, and I think it's a game where both of these defenses that have been viewed by the national landscape as sort of bad the first few weeks really step up, because the Panthers, I panned them a few weeks ago for not getting pressures. They're getting better now. They're starting to look like a coherent piece together defense, and that's a huge credit to Matt Rhule and what he's doing down there. So I'm just super excited to see how this game plays out. I give the edge to the Panthers, and I think I'll pick the Panthers, but I'm interested to see what you think about this game, Trey.
You know, even if the Panthers have been exciting on offense recently, I personally just can't get excited about the Panthers. When I look at the Panthers, I just don't like the Panthers. I'm sorry. I can't really give all that too many details, but I just don't like the Panthers. I don't know why. Every time I turn on and I see the Panthers game on Red Zone, I scoff a little and I get a little bit irritated. So I just can't get excited about the Panthers. The Falcons, on the other hand, I love to watch their offense, only when they're healthy, though. And it's not healthy right now because Julio Jones re-aggravated a nasty hamstring injury. He hasn't practiced for the past 2 days. So if I had to bet some money, I would bet that he's not playing against the Panthers on Sunday. But luckily for them, there's Calvin Ridley, who's played, he's had a pretty good year so far. And Matt Ryan's had a pretty good year so far as well. Dirt Cutter's really working some magic down there in Atlanta with that offense. That defense is still bad. But the offense is still good. As for a pick, I'll pick the Panthers. They're the most balanced team, I think, right now. If Julio Jones was playing this game, I think the Falcons would have a decent shot at winning this game. But I don't think Julio Jones is going to play. So give me the Panthers and Teddy Bridgewater here.
All right. And then let's talk about, well, briefly, Sunday Night Football. I think we both have the Seahawks.
Yeah.
We preen about the Seahawks here enough. This is a good chance for their defense to try to test itself again, because the Vikings have sneakily gotten very good on offense the past few weeks, really ever since that Titans game. You saw it in the Titans game in the first half. I know it kind of fell apart down the stretch, but the last 2 weeks especially, they've gotten Justin Jefferson more involved. They look like a team that is actually pretty entertaining to watch right now. And I do think this is going to be a kind of close game to keep an eye on. I just worry the Seahawks defense isn't that great, but I do think they're going to be able to force turnovers, and that's what they need to do to win games. And so I'm going to take the Seahawks here, and I honestly think this is kind of a shootout, and I think it's going to be a pretty great Sunday Night Football matchup.
Yeah, with the Vikings, I think we all recognize the struggles that they had on offense in those first 2 weeks of the season. And like you said, when they hit that Titans game, things just started to turn around for the better. After the Titans, they had the Titans, then they had the Texans last week. Two bad defenses that are playing currently some bad football right about now. And they'll get another juicy matchup against the Seahawks defense, let's just be real. The defense is bad. Seattle defense is bad. And you just said it, that defense, if that defense is going to find success, it's going to be causing turnovers and giving their offense the football right back, because they're just not going to get stops. They're just not that good on defense. Like you said, shootout maybe. I think I'll have my eyes on it because love shootouts, love football games like this. But I'll take the better quarterback in the end, the more consistent quarterback. So give me Russell Wilson and the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football.
All right. Let's jump. Okay, I'm really hyped about this game, actually. Chargers-Saints. I love Justin Herbert. Love watching him play. He's like totally uplifting the weapons that the Chargers have around him right now. He's making no-name guys like Guyton. Forget his last name. Look great last week on some deep throws. You cannot blitz him. He beats the blitz every single time. It's awesome to watch. He's a deep field, like, total gunslinger. I love Justin Herbert. I love watching him, and I really can't wait to see this game. And on the other hand, the Saints demolished the Lions after going down by 14 points. And while, yes, you could obviously point to that and say, hey, the Lions' defense stinks, well, there were encouraging things from Drew Brees. It still takes every fiber of his body to push the ball 15 yards down the field, but he still has the touch, man. He's still got the touch. He's still got the accuracy. That stuff we saw in that game against the Raiders, I think it might have just been an off night for him, because I really do think that touch and accuracy wise, he is not that far off from what he was a year ago. It's just the arm strength that is diminished even more, but he can still throw the ball with touch. He still has great accuracy, and he's fun to watch him. We're getting Alvin Kamara really involved. Traquan Smith is emerging as a factor, and Michael Thomas might be back for this game. And if they can get Traquan Smith added to a core that already has Emmanuel Sanders working with it as well, and he's come into his own the past few weeks, I think the Saints are still a really, really, really dangerous team. Not to mention Deontay Harris, who has been all over the field the past few weeks making plays for the Saints as well. They have a legitimately great wide receiving core, great weapons. I'm excited to see how this game plays out. I want to see if the Saints' defense improves. They're getting their top two cornerbacks back this week, I believe. I'll be excited to see how this one plays out. What are you looking for in this one, Trey?
I'm looking to see how Justin Herbert continues his stellar start in his rookie year so far. He's been fantastic. He's been absolutely fantastic. Aside from that Panthers game where he had some turnover problems, he's been fantastic. He went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay last week. And he also had a turnover at the end of the game that cost the Chargers the game. But even throughout that game, he was fantastic. He's fun to watch. So I'm looking to see if he can continue his play against another great in the NFC South and Drew Brees, who still has that dead arm of his, but he's still finding ways to make plays on the field by just throwing it short and trusting his playmakers to get some yards after the catch and set them up for more success on offense. So it should be maybe a fun game to watch if Justin Herbert doesn't run into too many turnover problems, because that Saints defense is nasty when it's healthy and they can cause some turnovers. So it should be a fun game to watch if Justin Herbert can stay on top of this game.
All right. Finally, I just want you to talk about this game because you told me this game should be a pick'em. What? Why?
You said Chargers Saints?
No. I'm talking about your Bills team.
Titans Bills. See, the Titans will likely be coming into this game without their two best defensive linemen. Interior defensive lineman and Jeffrey Simmons and Daquan Jones. And Daquan Jones, if you aren't familiar with the name of Daquan Jones makes his money by stuffing gaps and creating havoc in the run game. When he's out, that run defense might be bad because the depth behind Simmons and Jones is not that good. And the Titans linebackers have been bad in stopping the run this year as well. And the Bills love to run the football. They haven't found a lot of success so far this year, consistent success like last year. But if they can get going in the run game, and I think they will, and that Titans offense starts out slow again like they did in Minnesota last week in terms of getting touchdowns and finishing drives, because they'll be without Corey Davis this week, and they'll be without Michael Pruitt, who's blocking tight end that they rely on heavily. So they might get A.J. Brown back, but even still, it's just a weird sort of game for the Titans to play, and it's hard to feel confident in their chances to pull out the W because the Bills are one of the best teams in football right now. The Titans are defeated as well, but they've ran into some hiccups, and they're getting hit by COVID right now. So that's why I say it's close to being a pick. That's why, because if the Titans don't find a way to stop the run, and I don't think they will, then I think the Bills win by more than 2 touchdowns. So soon.
Wow. So who might they be missing on offense? The Titans.
Titans might be missing, you know, let me pull this up, their COVID list, because their COVID list is freaking extensive, man. The two names that I can come up off my head right now, Corey Davis, who was just placed on a COVID list this past Monday, I believe, and Adam Humphries, who was operating as the wide receiver too, with A.J. Brown out, now with A.J. Brown returning, he'll be wide receiver one, but Humphries will turn into his wide receiver three role. And wide receiver six, Cameron Batson, he's not, I don't even know if he's going to be able to play. So the Titans could be out, could be without, I'm expecting A.J. Brown to play, but if he doesn't, the Titans will be without A.J. Brown, Cameron Batson, Corey Davis, and Adam Humphries. If those four cannot go, but I imagine A.J. Brown will go, but let's just imagine a scenario that A.J. Brown doesn't go. The only two healthy Titans wide receivers that are on the roster right now and not on the COVID list are Khalif Raymond, who is a deep threat at best, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhalon. I can't say his last name and that name of his. But he's basically wide receiver six right now. I'd say Cameron Batson, wide receiver six, excuse me. Batson, I think, is wide receiver five. Nick Westbrook-Ikhalon is wide receiver six, and he has a drop problem. So what does that tell you, man? What does that tell you, man? Especially against that good Buffalo defense. What does that tell you?
It tells me they might be in trouble.
Exactly.
I'll take the Bills here.
Yeah, thank you. I'll take the Bills as well. Like the Bills as well. Although I will say the Titans found some ways to pull out some wacky games this year, but they've done that with close to full strength roster. So give me the daggum Bills, man.
I still think they're a great team. I still think the Titans are the second best team in the AFC if they are fully healthy, but they are clearly not fully healthy right now. So that's an issue. All right. Well, I'll let you go, Trey. I mean, here we go. Bottom of the seventh. Game time.
I'm nervous. I just saw Gardner just freaking strike out on three pitches.
1-1.
God, I'm so nervous.
It's prime time now. So breathe. Don't forget to breathe.
I won't.
Keep texting me. Keep me apprised of your well-being. And we will see you again next Friday. And hopefully the Yankees will be in the ALCS. But...
Please, God. Please.
All right. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week, I think. Wednesday is kind of a plan, but everything's up in the air right now. So we'll be back for sure next Friday. See you all then. Peace out.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.